anything that I say, may it be interpreted and judged by your holy word. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. The title of today's message is Yeshua Raised from the Dead. Matthew is the first witness to it. And it's amazing when you think of the past years that we've been going through the book of Matthew. Adonai in Yeshua exalted an enemy, a perceived enemy of the nation of Israel, a tax gatherer, a turncoat, to proclaim Yeshua as king of the Jews, an outcast to his own people. And the 11 Talmudim disciples, that was always before them. This man made himself rich and wealthy, offer the sufferings of his own people. Talk about a transformed life and a new career. Once a tax collector, now a sent one, an apostle of Yeshua, to proclaim truth to the Jewish people first and to the nations. So with this, let us now turn to Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. Matthew 27, verse 45. From noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all the land was covered with darkness. Now think about this. This is not a solar eclipse. Because as we have witnessed when we look at a solar eclipse, it's a gradual occurrence. And it's only for a short period of time. From noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everything went dark. And what went dark but the land of Israel? If you or I were standing in Saudi Arabia and looking towards the west, we would notice that the land of Israel all of a sudden became dark. And where you and I were standing in Saudi Arabia or in Lebanon or the Negev desert below that area in Egypt, and anyone who was sailing towards Israel would see that the land had become completely dark. And those from the sea could see that this darkness is going to great lengths. And those that were north in Lebanon would bear witness that Israel on that day from noon till 3 became dark. But where they were standing, the sun was still shining. And there are many times when we read this scripture and we say, well, that's good, that's interesting, but what is the meaning behind it? Now think from this perspective. Matthew is writing this good news years later. And so the people there that were standing, this was any other ordinary day. And in their lives, think of the Roman centurions and all those who were assembled there. The Pharisees and scribes that were looking upon Yeshua being put to death from a distance. All of a sudden, all Jerusalem and all these millions of pilgrims who had traveled many months to be there to celebrate Passover, there was immediate darkness that they have never witnessed in their lifetime. And it was all just in the land of Israel. And so, as the book of Matthew was not even written yet, God's people would be reflecting on Adonai's word, which they have memorized because there was the Torah scrolls, but no one usually had a Torah copy in their home. The king did, possibly the high priests, and some of the other top koinim may have had some scrolls of the Tanakh in their own home. But just think about this. Where is darkness mentioned? But in the book of Amos, Amos 8:9 says this, "On that day, declares Adonai, God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." So this was already prophesied. Had it ever taken place prior to that time of Yeshua being put to death? Absolutely not. Has it happened since that time? Has Israel or any nation recorded from noon till 3 o'clock that their land, their country, their boundaries became completely dark? No. So here's a sign, undeniable, that everyone that was living the land, think of those that were living in the north in Galilee. They're out there, they're on the Sea of Galilee, and they're casting their nets. They're going about their daily ongoing business. What's going on there? And think of the millions of people that are in Jerusalem celebrating Passover. This was undeniable. There may have been a fire going not too far from where they were doing the crucifixion of both Yeshua and these two other robbers that were there. Possibly then one of the centurions grabbed an unlit torch and lit the torch so they could see what was going on. So continuing here, this is one of several Tanakh references to darkness as a symbol of an accompaniment of God's judgment. Another is Joel 2:31. In some translations, it's 3:4. And it was also quoted in Acts 2:20. At this point, at Yeshua's death, God was judging sin. Because before Abba, Father God, was this, the Lamb of God, who is taking away the sins of the world. Now let us move to verse 46 of chapter 27. And at about 3 o'clock, it's still dark now, Yeshua uttered a loud cry, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you deserted me?" And everyone that was assembled there, the scripture I believe that the Spirit of the living God would place upon their mind and heart was this, Tehillim, Psalm 22:9, has just been fulfilled. Who wrote and was inspired to write those words many centuries earlier? But Yeshua's great, great, and I continue with greats, and I will not stop with greats, grandfather, Malachim, King David, he uttered these words. And it was recorded in the Psalms as one of the Psalms of David. Continuing now in 27:47. On hearing this, some of the bystanders says he's calling for Eliyahu, Elijah. Immediately one of them ran up and took a sponge and soaked it in vinegar and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink. As this was taking place, another psalm is fulfilled, Tehillim 69:22. Going on to verse 49. The rest said, "Wait, let's see if Eliyahu comes and rescues him." But Yeshua, crying out in a loud voice, yield up his spirit. Yeshua breathed his last. Yeshua said these words, "No one takes my life. I simply lay it down." Verse 51 of chapter 27. At that moment, the parochet in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. And there was an earthquake with rocks splitting apart. So think about this, the Kohanim that are in the temple courts. They feel the earthquake. They see rocks splitting apart around them. the judgment of God is falling. Think about those who are on Mount Calvary, Golgotha. They're seeing rocks split apart and there's shaking going on. And it's still dark. No one can see where to go. Continue in verse 52. Also the graves, I added the tombs, were opened. And bodies of many holy people, all Jews, who had died were raised to life. Think about that. Resurrected life of those who had died, believing in the promise that Hava received Eve, that from her would come a seed, a Messiah, the Lamb of God, that was passed down, the promise given to Sarah, that was passed down through the patriarchs to King David, and now to Yosef and Miriam, the promised Lamb of God. And so with his death came what? But resurrected life. Holy ones of Israel were raised to life in their tombs. Can you imagine what that would be like? All of a sudden, your spirit has been in the presence of Adonai, and Adonai says, now go, leave the heavens, and enter now back into your body yet again. It does not tell us here how long these people had been dead. Maybe flesh and sinew came back upon their bodies. See, the scripture doesn't give us all these details. I look forward to the time that we're in heaven when these writers of these books will fill in all the details. This is a miraculous thing. Ezekiel 38 speaks about what? The Jewish nation shall arise and become a nation in one day. Have we ever looked at this scripture and aligned those scriptures one with another? The death of the sacrificial lamb has brought life to those who put their faith and trust in him. Never seeing him, never hearing his voice, but by hearing his voice and him crying out, they were raised from the dead. What great significance is this? How many of us have buried loved ones? In the midst of sorrow and grief, have been comforted in this, that those who die in Messiah will one day rise again in Messiah. Now continuing here, verse 53. And after Yeshua rose, they, the righteous ones, they came out of their graves. Now think about that. 3 days had passed. You have now been resurrected to life. The tomb that you're in, that seal, the rock, is now broken apart. And maybe you're sitting in there with other family members who are also holy people to Adonai. And you're waiting there until the presence of the living God tells you what to do next. You get hungry. You get thirsty. Maybe you haven't eaten anything or drank anything for years. But God's provision is there, is it not? Well, Rabbi, you're really going out there. You're kind of going sci-fi on us today. But this is reality. These people were alive, and he sustained their life and had them in perfect obedience because they heard the voice of the one that they desired to hear all their lives. And what was his words? My God, why have you deserted me? That brought them to life. It's undeniable. The name Yeshua is not even mentioned in that, but that's who's speaking it here. So to think about that, for 3 days you remain there in your tomb, alive. And I believe this, they were worshiping Adonai. because Adonai had taught them that once you once died, and think about Job. He said this, even though I die, I know that one day my eyes shall see whom but my Redeemer, for my Redeemer lives. Think of all these things that are. And what about Elisha, who stretched himself, Eliyahu stretched himself on that boy that died because he was promised from his mother that the next year when I come back, you will have a son. And he was out working in the field and it was very, very hot. He said, oh, my head, my head. She brought him back to the house and she placed him upon in the upper part of the house where they put a room. They made a room for that prophet. They placed it upon the bed. And when that prophet came, he came and he stretched his body upon him three separate times. The body became warm. And then there was a sneeze and the child was raised to life. So think about all those scriptures that are playing on in the minds of those who are sitting in these tombs. And knowing this, that the one who's now raised them to life has given them an opportunity to ministry. But they won't even move. They won't even leave that place. Couldn't you see the urgency of thinking, you know, a relative that has buried me honorably in this tomb, and then all of a sudden I go and I meet them? So let's go forward here. Also, the graves, the tombs were opened, and the bodies of many holy people, all Jews who had died, were raised to life. And after Yeshua rose, they came out of the graves and the tombs and went into the city where many people saw them. Think about that. Millions and millions of Jewish people from all the known world who were there as pilgrims celebrating Passover saw dead loved ones that possibly they buried. They were there for their funeral. And then they moved to these other countries. And now many years back that have passed, now they come back. And on this particular time of celebrating Pesach, there are their dead loved ones walking around Jerusalem. Undeniable, the power of the death and resurrection of Messiah. And it's amazing here that Matthew, he brings us all together because we still have Yeshua, who's just recently died in the narrative, upon the execution stake. So now we need to move forward. Now we go to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54. When the Roman officer, in some translations it says the centurion, of those who were with him being Yeshua, were keeping watch over Yeshua, saw the earthquake, and saw what was happening, including the darkness. Maybe they had served in various lands as occupiers, but they've never witnessed from noon to 3 o'clock where they were complete darkness. So continuing here. They were awestruck and they said, he really was a son of God. Some translations, it says this, truly he was the son of God. A testimony and a witness to these individuals. Continuing here, verse 55. There were many women there looking on from a distance, and they had followed Yeshua from Galilee, which is Galilee, helping him in his ministry. Among them were Miriam, from Magdala, and Miriam, the mother of Yaakov and Yosef. Who was the second Mary? But Yeshua's own mother. And who were Yeshua's brothers? They were Yaakov, James, Joseph, Yehuda, Judah, Shimon, Simon, and his sisters. You may be saying, why are you bringing this clarification? Because Mark chapter 3, 31 through 32 lists them. And also Matthew 13 through 55, 55 through 56 also lists them. The union between Miriam and Yosef produced additional offspring. As we said earlier, many months earlier, that Yeshua was born not through Yosef, but through Miriam and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God. So going now to verse 57. Towards evening there came a wealthy man from Arimathea called Yosef, who himself was also a Talmid, a disciple of Yeshua. He approached Pilate and asked for Yeshua's body. Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen sheet and laid it in his own tomb, which he had recently cut out of the rock. And after rolling a large stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, he simply went away. Because I believe in this, in Joseph's mind, Yeshua had completed his work. And there's nothing more for him to do. Verse 61. Miriam of Magdala and the other Miriam stayed there, sitting opposite the grave. And what were they doing there? But simply reflecting on everything that had taken place. Verse 62, the next day after the preparation, the head kohenim and the perushim went together to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said that while he was still alive, that after 3 days, he would be raised." Remember when they were asking Yeshua during his earthly ministry that we need a sign? He said, "To a perverse generation, I give you one sign, the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the body of that great fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth for 3 days, and then too shall he rise." So on verse 34, "Therefore order the grave, the tomb, to be secure till the third day. Otherwise, the Talmudim, the disciples, may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He was raised from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You may have your guard. Go and make the grave, the tomb, as secure as you know how." So they went and made the grave, the tomb, secure by sealing the stone and putting the guard on watch. Now, was this just one guard? No, many guards. And who were these guards of? It was not the temple guards, but it was the Roman guards that were watching and guarding. That's right. So now we move to chapter 28, verse 1. After Shabbat, as the next day was dawning, Miriam of Magdala and the other Miriam went to see the grave, the tomb. And I'm going to stop right here for one moment. Does the scripture reveal when Yeshua rose from the dead? No. And so I would like to allow you to contemplate a theory. Yeshua declared this, that he was Lord of what? Lord of Shabbat. When they tried to condemn him and from his own synagogue throw him over the cliff, when a man asked for healing, and he said, "Simply stretch your hand towards me," and his hand was immediately healed, okay? So now backing up here on this theory, okay, since he is Lord of Shabbat, all right, and we just read here that these two Miriam are coming, what, the next day as the sun is coming up, all right? It does not state that Yeshua immediately rose at that moment. Correct. And according to Jewish or the Lord's Adonai's days, his days begin what? The night before to the setting of the sun of the next evening. So when 3 stars in the sky, all right, On Friday evening, Shabbat begins. On Saturday evening, when three stars arise in the sky, Shabbat ends. All right? So this is just a simple theory, okay? Because I know a lot of people in the Christian church are going to be very upset what I'm about to say. Since Yeshua was the Lord of the Sabbath, all right, could he not have risen prior to the Sabbath ending? Now, if we look from the Western mindset, it is what? The day begins at sun up to sundown. Just like the Gregorian calendar follows what? The sun. The Adonai's calendar, the feasts of Adonai, follow the rising and the setting of the moon. Okay? So now let us go now. We'll go now forward. So it's early that first day of the week that the two Miriams come. Okay? So that was verse 1 of 28. After Shabbat, the next day was dawning. Okay? So the sun is starting to come up. Miriam of Magdala and the other Miriam went to see the grave of the tomb. Okay? But technically, as they saw the three stars in the sky on that Saturday evening, Shabbat's over. It doesn't tell us how far they're journeying. Okay? So they could have taken torches while it was still, you know, Shabbat had just ended before the sun even started to come up. All right? So it says here, as the day was dawning, starting. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake. Yeah, but wasn't there an earthquake earlier? Absolutely. Here's a different one. For an angel of Adonai came down from heaven and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. All right? So now, verse 3. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so terrified at him that they trembled and became as dead men. These Roman soldiers had never seen an angel of Adonai. I have never seen an angel of Adonai. And I believe this, if an angel of Adonai appeared before me, I would probably fall down. Continuing here. The guards were so terrified at him that they trembled and they became as dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Yeshua, who was executed on the stake. He's not here." All right? So with that, we see the angel coming as lightning. The seal is broken. And you may say, well, Rabbi, that means Yeshua can't get out of the rock behind the rock because it's sealed. But when Yeshua appears before the Talmudim in the upper room, he's able to walk through walls, is he not, with his glorified body? And I say this to you, this is just a theory. Yeshua may have rose from the dead before Shabbat ended. Now moving quickly here. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Yeshua, who was executed on the stake. He's not here because he has been raised, just as he said. Come and look at this place where he lay." Now think about this. Here are hardened Roman soldiers. El macho men. And they're terrified. They fall as dead men before this angel of Adonai. But here are two women who had followed Yeshua approximately 3 to 3.5 years, and supported him in his ministry. I'm sure they're in awe reference of this angel, but they're not falling down as dead people. So they left the tomb quickly, frightened yet filled with joy. Isn't that how God operates in our lives? We're to fear the Lord above all things. But as we walk in the fear of the Lord, what does he produce but joy in our lives. Now let's go move now further down here. So they left the tomb quickly, frightened yet filled with joy, and they ran. He said just to go quickly. They couldn't contain themselves. Why? Because they heard the angel say this to them. He's not here. He's been raised just like he told you. And these women are the very first ones to proclaim the good news. God has exalted women to be the first proclaimers of the good news. So let us go now further here. Suddenly Yeshua met them and said, Shalom. They came up and took hold of his feet, and they fell down in front of him. Then Yeshua said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. What did the angel say to them, the women? Go and tell them, the disciples, the male disciples, that Yeshua has raised from the dead, and that he will see them in Galilee. But what does Yeshua do? He says, I'm going to give something even better to these women. Not that only they'll believe what the angels told them, but they will see me, Yeshua, and I will give them the same message. I won't appear to the Talmudim up in that upper room right now because they're not prepared for it. But the women were. And so God, through his mercy, has exalted these two women. So continuing here. So they came and took hold of his feet and they fell down in front of him. That's an act of worship, to behold his feet. And when they looked at his feet, what did they see? The nails through his feet. They didn't ask to see his hands, his wrists, or his side, but they knew it was him. So continuing here, then Yeshua said to them, don't be afraid. But I'll back up here in verse 9. What was the first word he said to them? Shalom. Peace. Peace of God that passes all understanding shall now rule your minds and hearts. I add that. That's a scripture verse. But here they had thought that the whole world was coming to an end. Darkness, two earthquakes, the holy ones of Israel being raised from the dead and walking around. But here now they hear from Yeshua's own lips, Shalom, peace. I will meet every need that you have. I'm your all in all. Walk now in my peace. Verse 28:10. Then Yeshua said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee and they will see me there. You know, I think which is really, really humorous about some translations. As I was preparing this message, I was reading through my 23 translations of the Bible. It's a 3-volume set, okay? And some of the humorous things of the greetings that they had recorded in the King James, you know what does it say? Yeshua stood before them and said, all hail. Doesn't that sound like a Roman? Okay, that's the King James, all right? Other translations, Yeshua simply said, greetings. All right? So there's humor, okay? And I can find it in there, all right? But Yeshua said to them was shalom. Peace. Okay? Some people get so hung up about the King James and all these other translations. That's where I like to have a little fun from time to time as you read all this, okay? Verse 11. And they both Miriams were going, and some of the guards went now into the city. So now they're raising up from being as dead men, these Roman soldiers, and they reported to the head Kohanim everything that had happened. Then they, some of the guards, met with the elders, and after discussing the matter, they gave the soldiers a sizable sum of money and said to them, tell the people that his Talmudim came during the night and stole his body while you were sleeping. Okay? So at night, my theory, of Yeshua being Lord of the Sabbath could raise during the Sabbath before it ended. And the angel came as lightning. If it's dark at night and lightning comes down from the heavens, they see it, and it lands, and then it appears to be an angel clothed in white raiment. They fall all as dead men. Because what did they experience recently? But all of Israel becoming dark from noon to three, and earthquakes happening. And then all of a sudden they're walking around and they're hearing these Jewish people embracing their loved ones who have been dead maybe for years. They've been raised from the dead. This is all going on. And so here they're guarding. And they know this, that if any one of them fall asleep, their lives will be required of them. All right? So they said to them, and who's saying this but the head Kohanim and those that are with them, tell the people this Talmudim came during the night and stole his body while you were sleeping. If the governor hears of it, who is Pilate, we will put things right with him and keep you from getting into trouble. Conspiracy, right? It's a conspiracy to bring Yeshua to be put to death. Pilate said, I find no fault with this man. Right? So let's move forward. 28:15, the soldiers took the money and did as they were told. This story has been spread about by Judeans to this very day. And think about this. Matthew is writing this, right? And so from the time of Matthew till this day, that has been the story. Okay. Verse 16. So the 11 Talmudim went to the hill in Galilee where Yeshua had told them to go. When I read that, I thought, well, which hill was that? Okay. It was a place where they would normally meet. And when they saw him, Yeshua, they prostrated themselves before him, but some hesitated. Why? Because everything that they've gone through, still there was doubt. Because as Jews, we're not to bow before no king or no man. Think of Daniel and the three Hebrew children that were brought to Babylon. Now moving forward quickly. 28:18. Yeshua came and talked with them. And Yeshua said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. All right? And so with that, that is a quote from Daniel. All authority in heaven is given to me. So Daniel 7:14 says this. And this is a scripture that the Ruach had placed in their hearts to remember. Daniel 7:14. The Son of Man was given. To him was given rulership and glory and a kingdom, so that all the peoples, the nations, and the languages should serve him. His rulership is an eternal rulership that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Because you know what? They're not pulling out the scroll of Matthew and saying, well, I guess, yeah, that does say that in Matthew 28:19 here. No. They're going what was written in the Tanakh. And that's why in Scripture it says this in the book of Acts. When you're brought before rulers and kings and judges, do not fear. Because when you have to speak and give testimony of what you and what you're all about, that the Spirit of living God will give you the words. And what does he give us? But Scripture that we've hidden in our heart. So now going quickly here from 19. Yeshua gives his command. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmudim, into disciples, immersing them in the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even unto the end of the age. Shabbat shalom.